We are now going to proceed with item six, a couple of the recommendations from our Commission for Impartial Courts with regard to the Implementation Committee. And we're pleased to have with us our former council member, the chair of the Subcommittee on Public Information and Education, and also the Administrative Presiding Justice of the 4th Appellate District, assisted by Chris Patton and Peter Allen, CAOC staff. Judy, welcome back.
Thank you very much, Chief Justice George and members of the council. And where's our Chief Justice in waiting? She must have stepped out. I'm very honored to be here. I know it's you've had the difficult discussion of budget, and I'm pleased to present you with something positive and happy. And that is some recommendations from the Public Information and Education Task Force of the Commission for Impartial Courts.
This I would is remind everybody that those recommendations are two in number with various subparts, or three actually, and they're under tab six.
Thank you. And I will be going over those recommendations. As you may recall, at the February meeting of the council accepted the prioritization plan, endorsed recommendations 29, 30, and 33, referred them to the Supreme Court for consideration by its advisory committee on the Code of Judicial Ethics. And those recommendations related to the disclosure of contributions and mandatory recusal for trial court judges when contributions reached a certain level. At your April and June meetings, you had additional recommendations to discuss. 22 were referred for consideration to the California Supreme Court's Committee on the Code of Judicial Ethics and the Policy Coordination and Liaison Committee, as well as the APJ's Advisory Committee and the Appellate Advisory Committee. And I, by the way, am so pleased that Justice Brad Hill is going to be joining the APJ's advisory committee. As you may recall, the Public Information and Education Subcommittee focused on four areas of judicial branch outreach: public information, civics education, voter education, and accountability of the branch to the public. Of the areas of study on public information and education, the Implementation Committee of the Commission on Impartial Courts believes that two recommendations that have six subcategories are of the highest priority: the appointment of a branch-wide leadership group and a focused and coordinated education of our students about the judicial branch and its function as the third branch in our democracy. We are inadequately preparing our citizens to participate in government. The strength of the judiciary requires that each new generation of citizens understand and embrace our constitutional ideals, our institutions, and our processes. Unfortunately, civics education has taken a backseat to reading and math because testing is mandated by federal law, and if you don't test for it, you don't have to teach for it.
And you don't get the money for it.
And you don't get the money for it. A most recent U.S. Department of Education national assessment of educational programs in civics indicates that only 25% of high school students were judged to be proficient in the area of civics. And I'm surprised it's that high, having reviewed the texts and materials that are offered to these students. Educators on the commission, and we had a number of educators from all levels, from K-12 through advanced education, convinced us that to learn a subject, children need multiple experiences, not just one. Yet there are no civics education programs that span multiple years of a student's education. And cultural differences due to immigration coupled with a multiplicity of languages increase the complexity of reaching children. In fact, one of the things we learned is that most of the civics education is concentrated in the last semester of the senior year. And if any of you remember your last semester of your senior year, you may understand why the level of proficiency is so low. The commission believes that the judiciary... I was focused on other things. Prom, etc. The commission believes that the judiciary needs to take a more active and organized leadership role in educating our children about the role of the branch. I might add one other thing about the text that I reviewed is they talk about the bad decisions that the courts have made, not the good decisions. There's very little about Brown versus Board of Education and a lot about Dred Scott. And we think that the judiciary is the perfect focal point to take a leader and should take a leadership role in educating our children about the judicial branch. Numerous judicial branch programs have existed in the past. I've worked on some of them. Community-focused court planning and connecting with constituencies, for example, are some of them. And there are many noteworthy programs that are conducted at the local court level. Some of you, I think the Los Angeles Superior Court has something like over 300 court community outreach programs. Not all of them are related to civics education, but they are wonderful outreach programs. And amazingly enough, on August 13th, Judge John Cronstadt from Los Angeles and Judge Bill Murray from San Joaquin presented a program entitled Judicial Outreach, Showing Students That Democracy Matters at the Judicial College. And I think that was a plenary program for all of the new judges. With the appointment of a leadership team, court community education, including K-12 civics education, can be resurrected on a statewide level through the promotion of local teams and programs. It's my understanding that Justice Doug Miller is now on the council. I don't see him. He's maybe one of the new members. He's here. His chair is here. But he was very involved in this court community outreach program as well. And many people throughout the state have been involved, but we believe that a coordinated program is necessary. The Chief Justice, I know, is aware of the problem and has committed to forming a leadership group on civics education in response to a request from former U.S. Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, who has been a national spokesperson for judicial branch participation in civics education. And if you haven't been to her website, I urge you to do so. It's just a phenomenal educational tool for all of us to use when we reach out to the community and particularly to young people. The Commission for Impartial Courts believes that to improve transparency and better inform the public of the role of the state court system, public information and education programs need to be institutionalized within each county and spearheaded by the branch as a whole, rather than left solely to the inspiration and initiative of individual judges. And as we've seen too well, when that individual judge who has so brilliantly developed a program retires, the program retires with that judge. We envision that a 10-person public outreach and civic education leadership group would be comprised of court leaders, state officials, bar members, educators, and others. This group would partner with local courts, California Judges Association, bar associations, the National Center for State Courts, nonprofits involved in the area, community leaders, and others. The leadership advisory group would reach out to stakeholders and interest groups in order to increase awareness and understanding of the branch and seek out opportunities for public input. The initial focus of this group would be to provide oversight and guidance to the AOC's current efforts promoting K through 12 civics education, and there are some that I'm going to mention briefly. In the near future, the leadership group's responsibilities would expand to include review and oversight of the remaining recommendations addressing public information, public input, voter education, and accountability. There are many public outreach and civics education programs and materials available at the local, state, and national level. Many of you have worked in them either as lawyers or as judges or as court administrators. Prior to and during the work of the commission, the AOC collected materials for members' consideration, and that research will continue. And it will be made available on the community outreach page on the California Courts website. A secondary goal includes providing programs and materials in languages other than English, but our initial focus is on civics education in English because of the resource issues. The commission felt that every child should receive quality education, and judges, courts, teachers, and school administrators should be supported in their efforts to educate students about the judiciary. To that end, we have made one recommendation that has 4 points. This is recommendation 43A. We recommend that meaningful changes to civics education should be supported and that a strategic plan for judicial branch support for civics education should be developed. Commission members actually discussed organized efforts in other state courts, such as the Florida's Justice Teaching Program. We outlined ourselves the elements of a strategic plan to improve civics education. And the report has a copy of that draft strategic plan that we developed. The recommended civics education should include broad concepts about democratic and republican forms of government and should not be limited to the judicial branch or the importance of impartial courts. Because the leadership group has not yet been endorsed by your body, a fully developed strategic plan is premature but could be developed by that group should one be formed. Recommendation 43B recommends seeking political support from leaders in the governor's office, the Department of Education, the legislature, the state bar, the law enforcement community, and other interested entities. Academic standards for civics education already exist. The Judicial Council, through the leadership group, can play a vital role in representing the judicial branch's interest. During the course of the commission's study, Associate Justice Ming Chin, who unfortunately wasn't able to be here today, who chaired the Commission for Impartial Courts, Commission for Impartial Courts member Bruce Darling, who is a vice chancellor of the University of California, our lead staff, Christine Patton, who is sitting right here, and I met with the state superintendent of schools, Jack O'Connell, to promote our interests and our issues. And in addition, Justice Ron Roby from the Court of Appeal, located in Sacramento, twice addressed the State Board of Education Curriculum Committee on our behalf and at our request. Bill Vickery wrote a letter to the National Governors Association and the Council for Chief State School Officers urging the development of national standards for civics education. And in July, our state legislature passed AJR 39 endorsing the same. A function of the leadership body would be to develop a protocol for providing policy support from the branch on civics education initiatives. The California Council for Social Studies is gearing up for its annual conference, and conference planners are interested in having a judicial officer speak at a plenary session on the judicial branch and civics. At this time, we don't have a designated spokesperson or persons for opportunities such as this. Recommendation 43C, teacher training programs, curriculum development, and education programs on civics should be expanded to include the courts. As I mentioned earlier, the courts are given very short shrift, and these are the people who at age 18 become jurors in our courts. Significant work has already been accomplished. The California On My Honor Civics Institute for Teachers program provides professional development for teachers focusing on the judicial branch. This program has served over 150 K through 12 teachers in 22 jurisdictions and has reached an estimated 24,000 students. It's our goal to continue expanding the program to reach as many teachers and children as possible. Mike Roddy has been a big supporter of this program, as has the Chief Justice and Bill Vickery, and I'm sure there are others here who have worked or spoken to the program, but it is one of the most, I can't believe there are teachers like that in our state. They are just wonderful teachers, and they develop programs for their students to teach them about government and civics and the courts that are just phenomenal. That program has been very valuable. California court programs also include the Supreme Court special outreach sessions for high school students, including the one upcoming in Fresno, and the one they had in San Diego reached over 1,000 high school students in person and many others by television. The AOC's Courts in the Classroom website, the Appellate Court Experience Program, various youth and peer courts, and other programs offered by the AOC's Center for Families, Children, and the Courts, all of which are providing education to young people. Numerous programs are also provided by local courts and bar associations and nonprofits such as the Constitutional Rights Foundation and the Center for Civic Education. Teachers who have participated in the On My Honor program receive certificates and recognition programs that bring attention to teachers, judges, and court administrators who advance civics education should be promoted. It may be that you have a lot of plaques in your chambers or your office, but not everybody does, and some people are unrecognized, and they appreciate the recognition that we can give them for their efforts. Now I want to talk just briefly about implementation costs, and I'm going to go quickly through this slide because it has a typo and also talks about money. The current AOC staff will provide support to the leadership group and ongoing K-12 civics education, and there are some very good staff members who have been providing that support. We estimate $3,000 would be necessary for travel expenses for a 10-person one-day planning meeting for the leadership body, and subsequent meetings could be done by telephone conference calls and email using technology to save money. We also estimate $1,500 to pay expenses for a spokesperson to represent the branch at key meetings. So far, those expenses there haven't been any expenses because we've got Justice Ron Roby or others to go at their own time and expense to make addresses. We are asking the council to endorse Recommendation 1, which includes 37A and B, and Recommendation 2, which includes 42A, B, C, and G. As a third recommendation, we ask that you direct the administrative director of the courts to appoint a leadership advisory group and implement the above recommendations. If there are any questions, Peter Allen and Christine Patton are here to help me answer those questions.
Thank you for that excellent presentation, Judy. And you mentioned Justice O'Connor's efforts in this regard, and I just wanted to add a little bit more perspective on that. I was honored to be part of her steering committee for 4 years on this project that just concluded, basically focused on ensuring the independence of our state courts. But what's interesting is that the conference, and she specifically, ended up concluding that the most vital component in that entire effort was furthering civics education. And she addressed the recent conference of chief justices that we held in Colorado about a month ago, and her address focused upon what should be done. First of all, she did give some parades of horribles in terms of the level of awareness or opposite thereof of high school students, so many being unidentified or unable to identify. One example was the Declaration of Independence, and Justice O'Connor exclaims, it's in the darn title. Or who was our first president, or naming presidents who were thought to be, you know, kings and queens of other countries. So the level of awareness is woefully inadequate, and I think she and I both shared the view that the underpinnings of democracy really is an appreciation of the rule of the role of law, and without that, we're not equipped to, you know, manage our own affairs, let alone purport to export our system of democracy to other countries if we don't understand it ourselves. She has concluded that the key group are the middle school children, maybe for reasons that Justice McConnell alluded to, that later on people get a little bit more interested in some other things, such as the prom or members of the opposite sex. But middle school children, she found, were very receptive to various learning tools, and her display showed some very creative, basically games, video games. And the students were so enthused that they would bring them home and show their parents these real-life situations, sometimes involving students or adults encountering, you know, everyday situations with authorities and with their own problems, and it was apparently very, very contagious, and I've asked for a copy of her speech, which I just received in yesterday's mail, but I think your committee should, if you haven't already, see the actual games, and that seems to be the way to really, you know, get their attention.
We have seen them. They're fabulous, and we also, in the state of California, have developed some. Karen Vischio worked on those, and they're on our website, the court's website. They're fabulous.
Judge Edmund.
And I appreciate very much your mentioning John Kronstadt. Fortunately, in the L.A. Superior Court, we have, since the days of Bill McLaughlin, really put a lot of effort into community outreach. And we have a Jeopardy game that the kids come into the courthouse and just love to play, and it's just been very successful, and they've served lots of underprivileged kids, and it's a terrific program. So he and Bev O'Connell and others from our court should be commended for their work.
I know your court has also held sessions in schools, which I think is very good, and I believe also been active with the online honor program. Some of us have talked to them and recognize those teachers, and I just think it's so very vital. Marion.
Yes.
Ms. Krinsky.
Well, I can say as the parent of a high school senior that they do have other things on their mind, most definitely. I want to thank the Commission for Impartial Courts for all of the work it's done that's been so impressive over the course of the last series of our meetings. I frankly think that this is probably the area of your recommendations that can have the deepest and longest impact. And I think they're incredibly exciting in terms of hearing what's planned. Having worked in some of the early efforts in Los Angeles when I was involved in our bar leadership during the year that I was president of the bar, we initiated a school outreach program that continues to this day, which is nice to see. And having worked in the law enforcement community and with the ABA on similar efforts, I've seen how significant even a small modicum of engagement with the schools can be. I did have a couple of isolated thoughts. One is I assume that in referencing the need to engage the bar groups, and I think that lawyers, especially lawyers who aren't working right now, can be a tremendous resource in terms of participating in some of these outreach efforts. And frankly, it's something that could be very rewarding. Teaching in law school right now, I have a lot of graduates who don't have jobs, and they're looking for something rewarding to do. And I think engaging in activities that could be partnered with judicial leaders could really be something that could tap unemployed young lawyers. But I also think the ABA has done some significant work in this area, and that if they haven't been looped in, it would be worth outreach to the ABA. I would also suggest that while clearly the K through 12 and middle school years are key, that looking at ways that secondary, post-secondary education can become part of the mix. In some ways, while high school seniors may have other things on their mind, when they move on to college, I think they start to become a new fertile ground for civics education, basic civics education. And I say that with an older daughter who's in college now and really discovering some of these basic principles that she should have learned in high school. There are also many college students who are now looking to participate in programs like Teach for America. And again, it strikes me that Teach for America and similar programs might be a resource for them to be part of a civics education effort. Those are college graduates. They go and spend a couple of years in the schools. And I could see Teach for America potentially getting excited about participating in a civics education effort. And then the final thought I was going to throw out, and I'm presuming that the timing wouldn't work on this, it makes sense to me that the initial focus should be on the civics education element, but with the November election coming up, that clearly provides an opportunity for public outreach and education about the role of the courts and the importance of the independence of the court. And I assume that this group won't be in place quickly enough to use that moment in time, the upcoming November election, to educate the public. But if that were the case, I think it's critically important as voters go to the ballot for them to understand some of these concepts and not be swayed by misinformation or misunderstanding about the role of the courts.
Justice Huffman.
Chief Justice, that screen and having Justice McConnell there in a question, are there any questions? I really don't have any about this. There were a number of things that in your presentation I was going to ask you about when your senior year, but
I might have a senior moment if you did so.
Just remember, you can't transfer me, and you already give me lousy cases. So I think the proposal is excellent, and I'd like to move approval of the commission's recommendation.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you very much.
Thank you. I really appreciate the support. And I would like to add that our cases are assigned randomly in the fourth.
A random person.
Yeah.
A select random person.
Thank you.